Hello and thanks once again for taking the time to download and listen to our podcast from CelticUnderground.net. I'm Harry Brady and the podcasts are coming thick and fast. This is the Cup Final Preview.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while.
So we've had the podcast discussing the fantastic Invincible record in the league, and now this is the podcast discussing the possibility that the Invincibles take that one game further and win the treble. Only the fourth in our history, only the and the second this century. We had just the other day the Lackeymore and his Lisbon Memories podcast, and that's a bit of a timeless one, so if you've not listened to that, you can listen to it any time. It's not game specific, but obviously this one with Hull Boy will be. People have been very kind to leave comments and tweet us about the podcast and email in podcasts@celticunderground.net with comments on what we should cover. And comments that people have left on YouTube. None of Your Business, Yes, You Only Live Twice is a marvellous film. And Thomas Haverstock, Yes, It Was a Fantastic Time in Our History. And thanks to Harry McDonough and Ross Carmichael and Peter, who didn't leave his surname, and all the others who have sent in comments, suggestions, and rated us on iTunes. Thanks very much for that. Anyway, enough of me. Let's get into the meat and bones of the podcast. I'm chatting with Hull Boy, where we preview the Scottish Cup final against Aberdeen. This is me, Harry Brady, with him, Hull Boy. Bring me sunshine, bring me love.
How are you doing? How are you doing anyway?
I'm excellent. Is City of Culture being fine and dandy today?
It is, yeah. Very sunny here, so plenty going on. So need to get something up on that kind of tidal barrier again about Invincibles.
Yes, you will do. you can save it for Sunday or Monday.
It's there all year, so I'll be doing it next season as well.
So did you get to watch the game on Saturday?
Sunday,
losing track of days. Did you get the voice game on Sunday? How did you find it?
Yeah, very good. It was a great occasion and, I don't think there was any doubt really. I was actually a little bit more wobbly about the Partick Thistle game before the game, that was the one where we might slip up. But I had no doubts that we would beat Hearts on Sunday, and we did really. They set themselves out quite well, but we were never going to lose the game. And once we got the first goal, you always felt that there was going to be at least one more scored, which obviously we did do.
Yeah, I mean, the only time Hearts did anything was literally in the last couple of minutes when they had three corners in a row.
Yeah.
Hit the post,
yeah.
In fact.
Yeah. But the game was over by then. But I think, you know, just purely as a spectacle and obviously in line with the 50th anniversary of the Lisbon Lions and winning the European Cup, It was just an absolutely marvellous day all around. Fantastic TIFO display. Absolutely took your breath away.
I know football fan. Every football fan of every club thinks their club is special, but they're wrong because our club is the most special. And it's just amazing. Yeah. Centenary season, when, you know, we had the old board and the old stadium, and Rangers had an all-seater stadium with all that money getting thrown at it, and English internationals. Yet we won the double.
And it's funny because I've thought about that season quite a lot as we've been going along this year. And, you know, for me, that, you know, obviously we've all got our great memories of Celtic. Great thing. That, for me, 87-88 was kind of that fairy tale type of season. And funnily enough, this season has got that feel about it. Obviously with the Lisbon Lions anniversary kind of in parallel with it, I don't know whether it's maybe down to the football. You know, I love the Martin O'Neill years, but the football that we've been playing this season, it's absolutely breathtaking. And you know, I kind of recall, I think it was 2001-02, Martin O'Neill's second season, where we just blew everybody away. But that was almost done in a kind of like, Celtic was so powerful, if you know what I mean, as a team.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's just fantastic to watch, and seeing some of the players that we saw last season and the absolute transformation of them under Brendan's coaching and management, it's just absolutely brilliant.
But there's a difference in, you know, certainly not decrying or saying one's better than the other, and obviously we know the quality of players we had in Martin O'Neill, but it was we were coming from a position of mainly dominance of Rangers for the preceding decade. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd won some stuff and we were starting to challenge, and Martin O'Neill comes in and takes us from the second performing team in Glasgow to the best performing team in Glasgow with some fantastic players. And that's always going to galvanise the support going from second place to first place. They're always going to be mm-hmm. galvanised by that. Mm-hmm. I think what's been amazing for me under Brendan Rodgers is we've gone from a position of strength and dominance to in terms of we'd won 5 titles in a row, to a position of even more strength, even more dominance.
Mm.
And getting back to the comments of, or fans will find it boring, we have, you know, various figures I've heard between 4,500 and 7,000 people on the waiting list. So to do that at a time when we were already the best team in Glasgow, the Espanolification of the city had already commenced.
the thing is, Harry, there's no switching off. And I know that's partly put down to the fact that they were still going for that unbeaten run. But if you look after the winter break, the way in which the team have kind of like stepped up, and you know, the kind of all jets are on high burn. It's unbelievable.
So, centenary season, we win the double. 125th anniversary, we play the best team in Europe, possibly the world, and we beat them at Celtic Park. And now we've got this coinciding with the 50th anniversary of Lisbon. We have just secured the league title, record goals, record points, record title margin, and unbeaten. Oh, it's just remarkable that there is something about the club that we manage to pull these things out of the top drawer when they're required.
Exactly. It's like I say, you know, I can't think of any other word other than fairy tale stuff. So I tell you what, though, I wouldn't have minded seeing that TIFO display attempted in the old jungle in 87, 88. It would have been all over the place.
Yeah, how could you? As everyone was coming in, now you stand need to stand
still.
There.
Stand still.
Yeah, might not quite. Do you know, I was looking because St. Anthony had posted up some pictures of things, and he posted up, it was just how the marketing, just in general, the way of the world, marketing has evolved, but certainly everything about our club has evolved. Celebrating the centenary season, there's a picture of the 1988 team in an old-fashioned strip with false moustaches on. And the board.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen that. Yeah.
I was just thinking about how we'd be a bit more sophisticated than that these days.
Just a little bit.
So the undefeated season in the league, and obviously as we record this, it's Wednesday, so we've got the 50th anniversary of Lisbon tomorrow, we've got the TV programme on tonight, we've got the Hydro event tomorrow, so, and then after that clears out the way, we've got the Cup. And actually I was thinking about that because I was fortunate enough to get the some audio on here of interviews of players at Lennox Town taken on Tuesday in preparation for the Cup final. I was thinking about how difficult it must be for Celtic players and everybody about the club to concentrate on this game because of what I just described. Invincible Sunday, I'm sure the players got a day off Monday. They've got a round of media stuff Tuesday. Thursday, the law, you know, certainly Brendan's going to be at the Hydro on Thursday night, but certainly I'm sure that, you know, there's involvement with them. There's a lot going on at the club for the players to block out and focus upon the game on Saturday. You confident they'll be able to achieve that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it goes with the territory. It's obviously different from the old days in the way in which players interact with the support. And all of those occasions that you've mentioned, the kind of like the formal settings, they know what their kind of like their duties are as footballers off the field. But I think, again, it's kind of testimony to Brendan and Chris Davis, John Kennedy, that, you know, what goes on during the day, during the week in terms of the training and the build-up to games, I don't think anything is being allowed to deflect from the focus on the game itself. We've seen that so many times, as I say, over the season, but in particular, you know, since the winter break. I just don't think this team is fazed by anything.
Well, the other thing that I got an insight to, talking of our current team and the team we're facing, one interesting thing I got an insight to this week, and I'll not say where it came from, that I was told that Ryan Jack is going to Rangers.
All right.
It's not been agreed, but it's an open secret in football that that's what he's doing. And that McInnes is particularly peed off because he's asked Ryan Jack to his face and Ryan Jack had said, no, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that McInnes told his players ready for the pre-cup final publicity press conferences that if they're asked about the fact that Ryan Jack might be going to Rangers, anybody who doesn't badmouth Rangers in those press interviews will be dropped. The person who told me that said that McInnes is quite well known within football for being a huffy person who keeps grudges.
Yeah, it's quite a nice little sideshow, that, isn't it? This ongoing kind of like spat between Aberdeen and Rangers. So, you know, we've talked about it before, but I really think that kind of old firm mantra is just, it's crumbling by the week.
Well, also there's two reasons for that. One, for the Aberdeen fans' perspective, if you remember, to paraphrase Chris White, when they had their day in the sun of the late 80s, early 90s, they perceived themselves as the main rivals to Rangers.
Yeah,
they still sing that they hate me, Rangers, more than us.
Yeah, exactly.
So you forget in that spat, that sideshow spat that you're talking about, there's a real, real hatred from the Aberdeen fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the added thing is, obviously now with the, and particularly now that Hibs will be in the league, the sort of four-way battle next season that you can envisage for four teams wanting to establish themselves as the second best team in Scotland. Aberdeen will quite rightly perceive themselves, well, for 3-4 years in a row now that they've been the second best team in Scotland. I'm quite sure they've seen it as very disrespectful over the last 12, 15 months that all Rangers have talked about is how they can compete with Celtic. And even now, when they have finished the league, whatever it is, what, 10, 12 points behind second place? They're still
67 points.
Yes, with 19 wins. 19 wins, 67 points. Do you know, it's, you know, next thing we'll have will be that the first game of next season is Celtic against Rangers, and they'll need to do a guard of honour for the champions coming onto the park. But with that fitting tribute that they decided to play to their neighbours from Glasgow, can they not get it into their heads that the first thing they should be doing is trying to compete with Aberdeen?
Exactly. And to be honest with you, I think, I've not looked at kind of recent form in terms of where that would place them, you know, in the table over the last few games. But, you know, yeah, they may make one or two changes in the summer, but they're going to be pretty much the same as they were this season, really. And particularly if they keep that manager, he's going to give us some great fun.
He is. If he lasts beyond October, that is, he'll give us some great fun. But on to talking of form and on to the team we're playing on Saturday. Aberdeen have done the unusual thing this season in that they've not completely fallen apart in the post-split fixtures.
No, and I think maybe there's, you know, you don't know about clubs, do you? But I think maybe there's been some chat about that. By McInnes. I'm not keen on McInnes, but he's probably not too bad at his job, and I think together with his coaching staff and their squad, they've probably had a discussion about how they've fallen away to Celtic over the last couple of seasons, and you know they've ramped it up a bit in the last bit of the season. But to be honest with you, I don't think that really matters for Saturday in terms of Celtic. I think at the end of the day, the Aberdeen defence isn't that great and certainly isn't good against the attacking play of Celtic and just that overall movement that we have when we are going forward.
Yeah, I mean, they have at least broken hoodoos, Aberdeen, in post-split fixtures. They've come to Glasgow twice and won. They've gone to Fir Hill. Granted, I think Thistle had 10 players.
It was a reserve team, really. Yeah.
And then they've gone to the Rangers and got a result there. So they have at least demonstrated come to Glasgow and won. But actually, I was looking at their Scottish Cup record against us. We've had 14 wins, they've had 9 wins, and there's been 7 draws. And their record against us at Hampden is actually not that bad. I mean, obviously we've beaten them this year, and I am going back, don't get me wrong, I am going back to a period when their not bad record covers a period when they were reaching European finals, so we are talking about a different team. Obviously we've beaten them this year 3-0 at Hampden, and then we beat them in the Cup semi-final 2010-11. We beat them 4-0, and we beat them in the League Cup semi-final of 2011 when we beat them 4-1. So, you know, in this last decade, the record's not fantastic against us.
No.
But you then start going back to, and in fact, this century, the record's not great against us. But once you go back into the last century, they've not got a bad record against us at Hampden. Obviously, beat us famously on penalties in the Scottish Cup when Charlie Nicholas scored for them. So they if I was McInnes, that's what I'd be drawing on to my team. I'd be saying, look, as a club, we've got nothing to fear. We've been to Glasgow and beaten, as a club, we have been to Glasgow and won Scottish Cups against Celtic and won at Hampden against Celtic. If I'm a player, I'm thinking, aye, at the same time as you were getting to Cup Winners' Cup finals and winning.
Exactly. And he may do that. I don't know whatever he needs to do to get his players up. But at the end of the day, you know, if you go back to some of those stats that you're quoting, that era, you know, Aberdeen did have a very good team. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And in the grand scheme of things, they've got a fairly decent team going forward at the moment. But we are just miles out of sight. You know, and the league table shows that. But people talk about one-off games, which obviously Saturday is. But even in one-off games, Celtic are streets ahead.
The other important thing, getting back to, it's a fairy tale club where special things happen, is those cup finals of the mid-80s, or cup games of the mid-80s, all seem to happen on rainy days. I remember standing in the Celtic end at Hampden and getting soaked. The forecast for Saturday, and my memory is Celtic win the cup on sunny days. Yeah. And the forecast for Saturday is 23 degrees and sunny.
Yep.
The sun shines in the righteous. So the stage is set. Last time we won the treble, it was a sunny day against Hibs. So how do you see the team setting out for Saturday?
I think Brendan's I mean, we've spoken before, you know, he always talks about the 11 that you finish with is sometimes more important than the 11 that you start with. But I think the last few games, particularly with Dembele being unfit, I think Brendan's been much more settled and it's been much more predictable in terms of his starting 11. And I think what that's doing is actually showing that some players, if they're getting a place in the starting 11, they're becoming even better players. So if you look at the likes of Patrick Roberts, who is just absolutely sensational at the moment, you know, he's had a good run of games, and you can just see that with him being in the starting 11, you know, he's thriving on it. It's just absolutely fantastic. So I think for me, starting 11 on Saturday, Craig Gordon obviously in goals. He's still developing as a player. I think even in the last few weeks, he's even more comfortable with the ball at his feet and playing that kind of sweeper-keeper role that people talk about these days. I think he's doing quite well on that. So I think Lustig will come back in. Yeah. I think he was being rested for the game on Saturday, if I'm reading things correctly. Simonovic, I'm assuming that even though he went off with a slight niggly injury that he will be fit. So him and Boyata as the centre back pairing. Kieran Tierney, unbelievable. We're almost taking him for granted now. He's been phenomenal this season. When you think he had such a horrific injury as well, he's been superb. So then I think in the midfield, Brown and Armstrong will be in there. I think it's then a question of is he going to go with Rogic or is he going to go with McGregor? I personally would start with McGregor. I think he's got a lot of games under his belt. I think his movement is pretty good. It's a question of whether Dembele is fit and whether Brendan Rodgers takes a risk with him. I think he'll start with Griffiths up front and then assisted by Sinclair and Roberts.
I think it would be a hammer blow to Griffiths how he's played since Dembele's been out.
Yeah.
The goals, you know, he's scored goals and he's had assists in every game since Dembele's been out. I think it'd be a hammer blow to say to him, because you'd effectively be saying to Lee Griffiths, it doesn't matter how hard you try. If Dembele's fit, you're not in the team. Mm. And I think motivationally, that's a very difficult thing for a player to be thinking about. No matter what I do, I am never going to be first choice here.
Mm.
And so I think for that reason, I think secondly, if Dembele has been out for, 6 weeks?
Yeah, it will be something like that now.
Yeah, so 6 weeks and then 1 week of training. I mean, I know modern footballers, it's very different to the '80s that we were just talking about, where a player would be out for a couple, you know, for that length of time, and then would be in the reserves for two or three games before he played because he needed to get back up to fitness. Very different because he'll be doing all sorts of cardio stuff, even if he's whatever his injury was prevents him from doing any, you know, pounding work or whatever. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's interesting because I agree on the McGregor Rogic.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rogic, I think, can excel at Hampden because of the big open spaces. And because where Rogic really excels is when he's got a wee bit of space and gets time to take the ball with his back to goal, turn and then run at people from the middle of the pitch. And I think that's why sometimes, particularly in European games in the last couple of years, he's done even better when he's come on as a substitute in a game, because a game's a bit more stretched.
Yep.
So you can just imagine if he comes on as a sub, you can easily see it 60 minutes, he comes on as a sub.
Mm.
When the game, when Aberdeen are starting to tire a bit because the way we pass and move, that space really being exploited for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he came on as a sub and scored.
Yeah. I mean, that's very likely. But I think it is interesting contrasting the two. I mean, you know me, I'm first and foremost focused on the team. I never really go on about individuals. But it's quite interesting seeing the contrast between McGregor and Rogic. But they both can kind of fulfil that role. And, you know, they both can weave their way into that kind of like attacking five players, if you like, in different ways. I mean, Rogic is unbelievable at holding the ball and keeping the ball. So,
We're confident that's going to be the team. The other thing I find interesting, because there was a period of time there where you knew that the team was going to be Lustig on the right, you know, the first choice team was Lustig on the right, Tierney on the left. And then it was, for a period of time, it was Sviatchenko and Simonovic. And then for a period of time, it was Boyata. Since the Albion Rovers game, for a period of time, it was Boyata and Simonovic or Sviatchenko. Then it's become Boyata and Simonovic. And the thing that's really struck me is the last couple of games, both the Hearts game and the Thistle game, the first substitution that took place at the back was for Toure to come on.
Mm-hmm.
That Simonovic, Sviatchenko seems to have dropped behind Toure.
Yeah. I couldn't work. I think there's a bit of sentiment there on Saturday. On Sunday. About Toure coming on. I think maybe if it had been another game earlier in the season, or if things were slightly different, I think Sviatchenko maybe would have figured. But I think there was a bit of sentimentality going on there. I think it was Brendan's way of saying, do you know what, you know, this is a guy who actually is now gone unbeaten for another club, you know, having done it with Arsenal. But I think the underlying thing for me, Toure's side, is I think Boyata and Simonovic is our best pairing now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we'll be going into Europe next season with. And Sviatchenko, for me, this season, in some of the bigger pressure games, I think, I don't know whether it's a combination of nerves and just slightly not being at the races as some of the other players have been when he's played, and I think Brendan will have kind of spotted that, and it actually wouldn't surprise me if he moves on during the summer.
The sort of turning point for me seems to be in the Rangers game at New Year.
Yeah, I thought he was quite poor in those games.
So that's the way the team's set up. You're not expecting any surprises from Brendan in terms of team selection. Fairly straightforward. So tell me how you think the game is going to go.
Well, I think probably we'll come out the blocks again. I mean, Hampden, the pitch is in pretty good condition at the moment. So that suits us. And if anything, this season, we've actually played some games away from home where the pitches have been better than they were at Celtic Park at times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether they're going to go ahead with the pitch relaying over the summer.
Well, so one of the things that I have found out about, yes, they definitely are. The issue is that when they rebuilt Celtic Park, they didn't redo the undersoil heating. So our undersoil heating at 30 years old is the oldest undersoil heating in British football. It also sits at an angle. So The I don't know whether it's right to left or left to right if you were in the Celtic end, but basically it goes at an angle under the pitch. So one side of it is now starting to occasionally, it burns the grass.
All right.
It's on. The type of pitch that we are going to fit, which is the same that Arsenal have got, with it's that grass with the plastic weave through it, you know,
yes.
a bit like Lee Griffiths' hair, you know, that type of pitch. I don't know where we're getting Lee Griffiths and Anthony Stokes' hair transplant people to do it, but anyway, it takes 12 weeks to do that type of pitch, and we don't have 12 weeks between
game. That was the thing.
So they are digging up the pitch completely, redoing the undersoil heating and the base to put, it's a sand based thing, redoing that, and then just putting a grass surface on top, you know, just relaying a pitch on top of it. And that will be able to be done in the requisite period of time of the 6 weeks that we've got between games. And then the following season, we will take that top layer off and put the new interweave grass and plastic pitch on.
Mm.
So that's the way that's happening. So next season we will have a better pitch, and the season after that we'll have a better pitch again.
Right, good. Yeah.
And one of the training pitches at Lennox Town will be fitted to be identical to Celtic Park.
Oh, right, okay.
So they can train on an identical surface to Celtic Park. So you mentioned the same type of pitch surface.
Which makes sense. And I think, again, just going back to some of the interviews that we've heard, some of which have been on this podcast, from Brendan and Chris Davis, you know, kind of everything is done with kind of finite detail. It's just, you know, it's just precision stuff, really. And Brendan's been using that phrase that he said to players, you know, I want you to be the best that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite obvious that what he's also saying, presumably to Peter Lawwell, is I want the infrastructure to be the best it can be. And I want all of the things that, you know, help the players to be the best that it can be.
Well, one of the things I remember from going to, there was a forum that Ronnie Dyler spoke at, and it was really impressive. And he was saying the same type of thing. We don't have the finances to compete with a Barcelona and Real Madrid, but the quality of medical people who sports scientists and medical people in Scotland is no different to the quality that you can get in someone like Spain.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why we cannot have the best sports science and medical backup and to the team. In Europe, there's no reason why we can't have that as good as they have in Europe. There's no reason why the infrastructure of the medical facilities and the training facilities that we bring in aren't on a par with some of the best clubs in Europe. So whilst we might not be able to bring in the best players, there's no reason why our infrastructure cannot be as good, and consequently we get the best out of the players that we bring through our own system. And perhaps the difference is Ronnie Dyler didn't have the authority, not authority in terms of delegated authority, authority in terms of stature.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
To make that happen.
I think what we've done is, we it possibly even went the other way when Martin O'Neill was a manager, but it's always the case that you've got to get that balance right between, if you like, the power and stature of the chief executive and the power and stature of the person who's heading up the football operations, which is currently Brendan. And actually, you know, there should always be a little bit of a healthy tension and a bit of give and take. And Brendan said some very positive things about Peter Lowell and Dermot Desmond over the last couple of weeks, which is good. It means that there's no particular conflict there.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if you go back to previous regimes, I don't think it's just Ronnie Dyler who didn't have the stature. I think I can never quite work out whether Strachan was kowtowing to Peter Lawwell or in his own inimitable way, just buying players that actually everybody just scratched their head at, you know, in the same way that he now picks the Scotland squad.
Yeah, but I also wondered whether there was a bit of pragmatism about Strachan, having been to the Premiership, been out of a job. There's a bit of a pragmatism of, I'm at a huge club, we're in Scotland, Scotland's got its problems, it is what it is, I'll just make the best that I can.
Yeah, possibly. But, yeah, so I think the balance is quite good. But I think getting back to Saturday, I think result-wise, I think particularly if we score early, I can see us easily scoring another three goals against them.
And you've no concerns about the referee? I mean, it's Bobby Madden, former Rangers season book holder. You've no concerns about that? We saw Ronnie Dyer's treble hopes going up in a blaze of handballs just before half-time.
Yeah, I think, well, obviously it's still a concern about certain refereeing decisions, but I think we will have too much, unless there's a sending off. And to be perfectly honest with you, I know there was a lot of people going on about the Scott Brown red card, which wasn't a red card, but this season's Celtic individual players have not put themselves in positions where referees might be tempted to show them a red card. Yeah. I think the brown one is the only one, and as I say, I don't think that was a red card anyway.
And I don't, it's different. You're up in Dingwall. It's a different environment. It's a different set of motivations. You can see on occasion that the weight of pressure could be detrimental to players. These players just look like they thrive on pressure situations and actually excel in pressure situations. Naturally, you have your concerns that we are 90 minutes or so away from a treble, only the second one in my lifetime, and only the fourth in total. Fourth in 50 years. We are 90 minutes or so away from not just an unbeaten league season, but an unbeaten domestic season. And so my only slight concern is if for the first time this season the pressure gets to the players, knowing the enormity of what they're about to deliver. But then there's another the devil and angel on each shoulder. The other one then turns around and says, but just think of the thought processes that are going through the Aberdeen players.
You maybe could look at Sunday and think that the first 10 minutes Celtic were a little bit nervy. I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into that. I just think that, and also that might be the way in which Brendan approached that game, knowing, the thing about Brendan is he knows what other managers or the managers of other teams are going to do. He's very, very good at second guessing.
Yeah.
And he'll know how Aberdeen set out, and I've got absolutely no doubts that the reason why we were 3-0 up the other week in after 11 minutes against them was because Brendan knew that was one game where you needed to come really sharp out of the blocks. And I think he'll do the same at Hampden.
The other thing which seems to have got under Aberdeen's skin, and I've heard Aberdeen fans phone Radio Scotland a few times about it, was Brendan Rodgers' post-match comments after the game at Pittodrie, most recent game at Pittodrie, about Aberdeen being a long ball team. And the thing that gets me about that is, before the game, McInnes on Radio Scotland said that they were playing whatever the guy's name is, Stockdale or whatever?
Stockley,
that's it. They were playing Stockley up front because they wanted to be much more direct.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were going to be, so it was about getting the ball up to, they were wanting to get the ball to him more quickly, to then, all the second phase chat and all that sort of stuff. So before the game, McInnes said, we are going to play, used football euphemisms to not say it, but he said, we are going to play long ball today. Yeah. After the game, Brendan Rodgers says, Aberdeen play very direct football with a long ball and we managed to cope with it. But it seems to have got under their skin. But I did wonder whether the reason Brendan emphasised that so much, because he knows the way McInnes is, And it and it'll make McInnes want to prove that he's not a long ball team and start trying to pass the ball around the park at Hampden.
Yeah.
Which we're playing our hands.
Oh, yeah, I think there's plenty of that mind games going on, but and fair play to McInnes. If that's how he felt, his team had a chance to beat Celtic, then, you know, fair enough. You can see the logic in that, because obviously if Stockley does win the ball and, you know, the likes of Hayes and McGinn, you know, were kind of fairly pacey and could exploit that. But, you know, I just don't see it happening, really, because we've got too much across the park to combat them however they want to play.
So what's your prediction then for Saturday?
Well, as I say, I think we'll get at least three, and I'm going to go 4-0. I can't see 4-0. Them scoring. Yeah.
That would be marvellous. Do you know what would be really, really marvellous as a way to be able to relax as a football fan? The perfect scoring would be first goal, maybe the first two goals inside the first 15 minutes. A third goal just as the second half starts.
Yeah.
Because that way you're 2-0 up and you can be relaxed at half time. Third goal goes in just after the second half starts and you can then party for the rest of the game. And then
Absolutely. Five,
6 minutes to go, the fourth goal go in. Because then that's just flick of the switch of just party time for 6-7 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'd like that. So who's going to get the goals then? I'm excited by this four goals.
Here we go. All my numbers are going to come up here, aren't they? Well, I mean, obviously, if Griffiths is starting, which we think he will do, I would think that Griffiths would get at least one. Roberts is very, very good at the moment in terms of having the eye for goal, so I'd put him down for one. And then I think just to share it around, Armstrong and possibly McGregor would come in with the others. So
are they going to be sitting there?
I've left Sinclair out there.
If
Sinclair scores, then it's five.
Is that what we're going to do before the game? The Brown's going to be sitting there going, right, here's the goals divvied out. And then Sinclair sticks his hand up. Bruni, what about me?
Okay. Yeah, what about me?
You can have the fifth.
Yeah. So, but no, I know that sounds very, very kind of laid back and maybe arrogant, but I just think we're watching a team now that is streets ahead of any other team in Scotland. And so I think it's not out of the way to actually kind of be predicting scores like that.
And if we do get that, we can all, the players can all go on holiday, have a great time. One thing I do want Celtic fans to stop getting their knickers in a twist about whether English pundits decry our achievement of winning the treble and going unbeaten. Who cares what they think? We know how good we are.
Oh yeah, I have no doubt about that. And you know me, I watch quite a lot of football, and you know, English Premiership included. I've got a good feel from watching games as to where this current Celtic team would be in the English Premiership. It's, you know, I think maybe if you go back a few seasons, then there was a lot more of a gap. But this Celtic team, make no mistake, is a very, very good team. And I'm really excited about Europe next season.
Yes, so am I.
Because I think we'll bring a couple of players in. Don't know who they'll be, but I think that they will be of a particular quality, if you like. You know, I think they'll be very carefully selected in terms of what Brendan wants to add to the squad, and part of that thinking will be about what do I need in order for us to be competing in the Champions League group stage.
Well, we will chat again as we get closer to the draw, which I think might only be in about 2-3 weeks time or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the draw for the Rangers, since they're getting a Bent licence, I'm surprised their draw hasn't happened already, since they're playing before the schools are back. But that's that's by the by, or before the schools even break up. That's by the by. Yes, exciting times. And I can't wait. It's amazing. I cannot... We haven't finished this season and I can't wait for the next one to start.
I know. Will the Craig White trial be over by the time we're in the Champions League group stage?
Maybe it'll conclude on the day that we play. That's the way things are going at the moment. with the arrest warrant issued for a certain former or current... But should be former Knight of the Realm. Maybe that's what will come on the back of that.
I know.
Anyway, I will say, Hull boy, I'm really looking forward to the four. And if Sinclair nips in with his fifth, obviously that from my timetable of when the goals are going in, I take it that's going to be like last kick of the ball, that Sinclair fifth.
Yeah, that will have to be the 89th minute because Bobby Madden will definitely blow bang on 90 minutes if we're winning by that margin. He won't want to see any more of that, will he?
No, he won't. Although maybe as a wee token to show that he's not that biased, it'll maybe be a 90th minute penalty. Sinclair steps up and scores.
Lovely.
Yes. And I will say, Hull boy, thanks very much.
Cheers, Harry.
Cheers.
Enjoy the game.
Thank you. You too.
Final week, how is everyone feeling?
You
excited?
Yeah, everybody's exciting. There's a few days left now. Another game where we need 100% of focus, you know. We all won, and we know it's going to be a big achievement if we manage to win this game. And we're all trying to get ready and just want to play this game and finish it.
That's been one thing that's been very important for you this season, hasn't it? Focus on just the one game at a time. But now you have the chance to secure that treble. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. I mean, we know how important that cup is as well, and how important it will be for all of us. We've been taking games by games all season, and it's been well for the moment. We've got another 5 days to go. I think we're not going to change that much of our focusing as we've done before. You know, everything has been well since now. So I think we're all going to go there and give 100%.
The team's achieved a lot this season, Dedrick, but important to finish the season on a high despite all the progress and everything the team's achieved so far.
Of course, yeah. I mean, getting to there, I mean, it will be very, very sad and hard if we don't finish on a high. I think for anybody who's been in a position where everything is well and the last second you lose a game, you don't feel as good as you would be, you know. And for us right now, that cup is very important, and it will be for Aberdeen as well. So it will be a hard game, but we're going to be ready to give us everything as it's the last game as well.
You started your run in the team in the first round of the cup against Albion Rovers. Can you tell us what your thoughts were that day?
The first game I started.
In this long run you have been in the team?
Oh. The beginning when I started, well, for me it was first not get injured, because that was my big issue towards the beginning of the season. Then obviously try to get back in the team and try to get the legs, the fitness, not make mistakes, and then try to convince the manager.
The manager was very pleasing of you against Albion Rovers, if you can remember that day, you know.
Let's try.
Do you remember what he said to you before that game when he put you back in the side?
Yeah, I remember he said that he didn't want me to, because, you know, when you don't play that much and you get into the team, you always try to, you always have the tendency to do too much to impress people. He wanted me just to play simple and to play as I've done in trainings. He said then everything will go well if I just do whatever he's told me.
How do you feel you went since that day?
Today for me, first of all, fitness-wise, I feel great. injury wise, I feel even better. Then in my game, I feel like I'm getting the confidence that I've had before, and things are actually going well.
Did you ever think back then at the end of last year that you would play such an important part in a treble winning season when you barely played?
When?
At the end of last year, you know, before the turn of the year.
No, but only because obviously the season started with an injury. Then first an injury, then a second injury, and then I played one game for the team, and there was December. So to tell myself, okay, I'll play every game to the left of the season, that would be a lie, you know. I didn't tell myself that. So, but I was working hard. I was trying to get back in the team. I was trying to impress the manager as much as I could. And yeah, I mean, being in this position today, I definitely didn't expect it in last December.
There's always pressure in every game at Celtic, especially cup finals, but with the treble riding in this, does that add an extra pressure at all?
I mean, for us as players, we always have pressure in any games, you know. When we walk on that pitch and we hear the crowd and we see the fire or whatever, we maybe seem calm, but there is always pressure in our body. And then obviously we all have goals, and we all have qualities, and we know our qualities. So whenever we start playing, we don't think about what's going on around us, and we try to play the plan, you know. But yeah, I mean, treble, it's a big word, you know. Invincible was even bigger. I mean, no, I can't say it was bigger, but it was another big word. So now we're invincible, but the treble is another thing that we're trying to achieve. It's going to be hard. We will feel pressured, and then we'll see on Saturday.
Have you thought about what it would be like to score a goal in this cup final that could secure the treble?
No, I don't actually think about that before the game. I mean, I'm a defender. We try to keep as much clean sheet as we can, and then of course if we can bring something plus, we'll try, you know. But I mean, for myself, if I can score, I'd be more than happy, you know. If I don't either, but I just want to finish this game and win the game, you know. That's the goal of any of both teams, is win that game.
Have you ever been your closest challengers this season? But you've already beat them five times. Does that give you a mental edge going into Saturday?
We definitely will tell ourselves that we can do it because we've done it before, and then we know that anything can happen in finals, so that's when we need to be even more focused than we've been. It's one game, we won't have any other chances after that, so there's no time for mistakes or whatever. I mean, it's the last game of the season as well, so it's the only moment. I mean, it's the last game where we need to be on top of our game.
Have the celebrations died down on the weekend?
Not yet. We've obviously still got another important game to play, so I'm sure there'll be big celebrations next week, hopefully. And now we'll look forward to the game.
It's not something you've had a problem with all season. The focus and concentration, is that just the same as it's ever been now?
Yeah, it'd be the same. Yeah, most of the boys have said we're the same folks, same mindset, and going to every game we've been this year, we're going to the final the same way.
What does it mean to you being able to play in this cup final?
Yeah, it's a massive trophy to be a part of, and a big one in Scottish football. So it's important for all the players, not just me, to go into it 100% and give 100% for the team. And we'll do that. Every single player will do that, and hopefully we come out the best outcome.
You've been playing very well recently. Are these some of your best performances, you think, in a Celtic jersey in
this season? You could say so. I mean, I'm feeling good at the moment. I'm feeling confident, and as a player, you need to feel that, and you need to feel good about yourself. And you go into a game and you feel confident and positive, and do what you do best, and that's what I've hopefully done. And I'm enjoying my football right now.
That you have come on in the one spell that you've had here, has it really made a difference to your development and your career?
Yeah, as a player, you strive on games and form, obviously, and you become a better player for it. And the time I've been here, I've come on leaps and bounds, and thanks to the players here and the staff, it's been amazing. So it's been a good year, and it's obviously not over yet, and so we'll finish that strongly.
You talk about one game at a time. How easy or difficult is that when you're on the verge of doing something that's only been done a couple of times in this club's history?
Yeah, it's obviously tough. It's obviously the media background and obviously all the fans, obviously. But we'll stay as positive as ever, and we'll go into that game how we have all season and show the same mentality to that game as we have every other.
I'm not sure you need an extra incentive to win a cup and a treble, but given your situation with missing international duty and all the rest of it, does that add even a little bit of extra? I'm sure you won't want to have gone through all that to end up with a runners-up medal round, you know?
Yeah, but you don't quite know what's going to happen. I've made a decision, and I'm proud of that decision. And when I come here, I've obviously got a final to play, a massive final, and I want to be a part of that, and obviously hopefully get the win. So yeah, there's obviously incentive. There's incentive for all of us to go all the way, and we'll hopefully do that.
If it was to be your last action in a Celtic shirt, I know we don't know what's going to happen in the summer, but obviously can't be many more fitting ways to sign off.
Yeah, like you said, if it is going to be the last game, I obviously want to go on a high, and obviously to win the treble at this massive club will be big for me, and hopefully we can do that on the weekend.
What's the biggest difference Brendan Rodgers has made to your game?
He's a top coach. You can see that, and he's brought not just me but all the players on a different level. And this year we've been unplayable at times, and he's down to his managing, his coaching. He's been brilliant. He's obviously, he loves working with young players and bringing the best out of them, and he's certainly done that here and with me and Musa and Kieran, and a lot of us. We've come up a different gear, I think, this year, which is important for us in our careers as well as for him, for Celtic.
Can you see other guys improving month by month over the last year?
Yeah, you can see it. I've been here for years, and you can see the improvement he's made to his game. And obviously Kieran, I've been here with, he's come on massively, and even the older players, Craigie's with his feet, has been a joke, I'd say. And obviously all the other boys at the back have been unstoppable. So go past the whole team, Stuart a lot, and we've just come on a different gear this year, and I think that's why we've gone all the way in the league. So, but there's obviously one more game left, and hopefully we can push more for that.
Aberdeen have been your closest challengers all season. Do you feel, given that you've beaten them five times this season, that gives you a mental edge going into Saturday?
No, it's a cup final. They're going to be just as at as we're going to be, so they'll have a point to prove against us, and obviously we'll have still a point to prove. So it'd be a tough test on the weekend, but we're up for it, and we've been up for it all year, and we'll go into the game, or we've gone in every other game, and go straight from the off.
Just finally, I saw you tweeted about it earlier on, the event in Manchester. Just what are your feelings on that, given you're from that area, or you're from that area just now?
There's not much to say. It's a tragic thing to happen in any part of the world, and especially somewhere so close, and to go to a concert and obviously a bomb to go off, it's not good. And my thoughts are with all the families, and it's a tough time, especially for the world, and it's good that we unite and get behind the country. So my thoughts are with all the families and everyone in Manchester right now.
Craig, another week, another big game. How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. That was good to finish the league season unbeaten. We can't be in a much better place going to a cup final. So, yeah, everybody's happy and looking forward to it.
You've already made a bit of history on Sunday, but to make more history by winning a treble doesn't happen very often. What would that mean to you?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to go and make history, be, you know, one of the best teams that's ever played for this club to achieve something like that. So yeah, it's something that if we can do it, we'll always be remembered, and to be part of something like that, it's very special. You don't get many occasions during your career to try and get something like that on your CV. So yeah, we're looking forward to it.
And the players are all aware of the history and the importance of this achievement?
Well, we just want to concentrate on the game. You know, we can't get too carried away with everything like that. We know the importance of it. We know what's on the line and what's at stake. So, yeah, we go in and play our game. If we can concentrate on our performance and play well enough to win the game, then all that will come with it.
Can you remember what you were thinking back looking towards Your first Scottish Cup final.
Yeah, I remember thinking that that was probably just the first of many opportunities that I would have to win me a cup competitions, and the older you get, you don't realise that those don't come along very often, and especially one like this with the chance to go and get a treble. So yeah, that was a great day for me, to win the Scottish Cup with Hearts, and then to do it again and be part of a treble season would be unbelievable.
It'd be unusual, wouldn't it, to win it a cup with two different teams? Doesn't that often
make not that often. There's a few players that have managed to do that. A few of the other players that were in that Hearts team with me have managed to do it. So yeah, that would be something special, something that I would cherish. But we'll have to go out there and win the game first.
Do you feel you're looking forward to these types of occasions more as you get older?
Yeah, I think so. You never know how many more there's going to be. Probably took it a little bit for granted the first time around. But you know, everything that goes on in a career since then, it's for anybody, the closer you get to the end of your career, the more important these become.
Is that a message you can pass on to some of the younger guys perhaps in the squad then, that you might think these are going to come around every year, but it's not always the way it plans out?
Yeah, I think so. And even at a big club like Celtic, you know, not managed to, and it's my third season here, we've not managed to win it since I've been here. So yeah, they don't come around as often as you would think. So we have to make sure we enjoy it, but the only way to do that is by going out and winning the game.
I suppose in your time here as well, you've seen that, you know, being the favourites and being the better team or whatever doesn't always get your hands on the trophy, so you won't be taking this one for granted.
No, that's football. You can lose any match to anybody. You know, that's what makes the season we've had so special so far. And we know we're one game away from going undefeated throughout the entire domestic season. So the manager said at the weekend that he didn't think that would be done again in a lifetime. So it's a massive opportunity for us, one that we can't ignore. We have to go out there and play with the confidence that we've been playing with, and if we can do that, then we'll give ourselves a great chance.
If you were coming up against Rooney, Hayes, McGinn, that's the best sort of trio of attackers outside the players here in Scotland?
Yeah, well, they've finished in second place the last couple of seasons, and in the end this season they've done it fairly comfortably. So you know, they are the second best team, there's no doubt about that in terms of their points tally and also the way they play. We've found it difficult in the games against them. We've managed to come out on top, but certainly they've given us very good games in the past, and I'm sure it'll be no different this time.
Looking forward to Scotland and England since you named in the squad yesterday.
Yeah, that's next one. We've got a cup final to look forward to first, but yeah, after that it's just another big game, and not one that everybody that's involved in that will be looking forward to. The whole country will be. We put in a good performance in our last match to get the 3 points, and that was important. That kind of got us back in with a shout. So if we can perform like we did on that day, we'll give ourselves a chance, especially at home with a home support and a big crowd behind us. So it'll be a big occasion, and hopefully we can do ourselves proud there as well.
How much more confident will Scotland get in that game given that result the last time?
Yeah, absolutely. And not just that, it was the man of the performance as well. We created a lot of chances. We probably should have won the game more comfortably than we ended up doing. So yeah, we'll take confidence from that. I'm sure we'll look over that when we meet up and see why we played so well and what it was that got us the good result, and if we can replicate that, then we'll give ourselves a chance to get something from the game.
It's quite the end of the season for you, isn't it? Do you feel like you're needing a break at all, or are you quite happy to keep on playing?
No, I played a lot of games, but certainly at this stage it's one big game after the other, and it's what you play for. It's what you play 40, 50 games a season for to get to this stage where the medals are getting handed out, and we'll give it one last big game.
Yeah.
enjoyed that podcast with Hull Boy. We will have more podcasts through the summer. We will be having the annual Celtic Underground Top 10 Awards now in their 11th year, and it'll be more difficult this year. We know who's going to be towards the top, but there's such an array. It's the complete opposite of last year when we could only come up with two or three names. Anyway, other key dates for you to be aware of in the coming months for teams that are not very good. The Europa League first and second qualifying draw is the 19th of June. For champions, the Champions League first and second round qualifying draw is the 19th of June. The first qualifying round of the Champions League is the 27th, 28th of June. More importantly, is for us, the second qualifying round is the 11th / 12th of July. My birthday, yes, I know. And then we have the third qualifying round draw on the 14th of July, the fourth qualifying round draw on the 4th of August, and then the Champions League group stages draw takes place on the 24th of August. All those things to look forward to after we probably sign some even more great stars for the club. Things just keep getting better. Hope you've enjoyed this past season. We will have a cup final review. Hopefully we'll have been discussing the Invincibles getting a treble. We will have the Celtic Underground Top 10. We will have others. But for now, this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.